Hour number three of Sports Talk begins with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. And joining us now via the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline is Rob Lewis of AllQuest.com. He joins us for the next half hour on the program, the next two segments, talk Tennessee basketball, Tennessee football, you name it. Always glad to have Rob along. And again, 656-9900 to join us. Rob, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you today?
Doing well, and we saw, again, the roller coaster ride continue for Tennessee basketball. A not-so-great performance, but a win against Vanderbilt last week, followed up by the predictable loss on the Plains at Auburn, despite the Tigers being shorthanded. What were your takeaways from another less-than-successful trip to Auburn?
I just thought it was a bad week in general for the Vols. I mean, you mentioned they didn't look great at Vandy, but you know Vandy was playing without – by far, their two best players in Dylan Bissou and Scottie Pippen Jr., guys that are the third and fifth leading scorers in the SEC. And Bissou's the leading rebounder and you know, didn't have anything close to the firepower to replace what they lost. And Timmett, yet that was a four-point game with four and a half minutes left. Tennessee just couldn't put them away. And against Auburn on Saturday, I didn't see a team that had a lot of passion and just about – no confidence outside of the two freshmen and Eve Pons, who had a decent day with 10 points and 8 rebounds. But Auburn, that was an Auburn team that was not only were they playing without Sharif Cooper, but they'd lost 6 of the last 7 coming into that one. So, you know, it's March now, a time when you want to be peaking in college basketball, and it does not look to me like this Tennessee team is close to that.
Yeah, a lot of the things that you hear year in, year out is that defense is supposed to travel well and that you would expect the one thing that you can control is effort. And for Coach Barnes to share his frustrations afterward and say that he essentially had three guys that were there essentially carrying their own weight, it is really surprising at this stage of the season just for the fact that you would think just in terms of matchups, Tennessee's lack of success against Auburn for so long now would have guys fired up just for that matchup alone, regardless of who was suiting up for the Tigers.
Yeah, they did not look fired up, that's for sure. And I thought, you know, you can point to a lot of different numbers, but the biggest one that jumps out at you when you're talking about which team was more aggressive, which team was playing with more energy, was Auburn gets to the foul line 37 times, Tennessee gets there 10 times, and all 10 trips were by Johnson or Springer. And yes, I mean, Tennessee was fouled late in the game, but it was still, you know, disproportionate, more than double long before they started sending Auburn to the line to, you know, when it was desperation time.
When you look at the offensive rebounds, Auburn had 16 of them. Rob, that stood out to me. What about you?
Yeah, and it's been a problem all year long, Jimmy, for this team. I mean, not, you know, maybe not every single game, but that's an area of weakness for this team. Eve Pons had 8 rebounds in that game. Your next leading rebounder is Jaden Springer with 5, a guard. You know, Tennessee's big. They don't score. They don't get fouled, and they by and large are not very good rebounders. And that's the problem with this team in a nutshell, I think. You know, they have a hard time protecting the glass. Or one of the worst rebounding teams in the SEC when you look at just conference play only. They're getting – you know, just no post score right now. I mean, Pons with 10 points, and that's a nice game, but that's not, you know, you're not running your offense through that guy. The disappearance of John Fulkerson to me has just been the most mystifying thing about this season by far. You know, in SEC play last year, he was a 15-point game scorer. This year, that's been cut in half, 7.3.
We heard Rick Barnes mentioned, I guess it was on the Jim Rome show, that he believes in COVID-19 fatigue and that it has impacted college players around the country. Do you think he might be referring to some of his own players?
Jimmy, I would hate to speculate. I mean, I think I wouldn't name names, but there have been a lot of kids on the team that have had it, to my knowledge, and, you know, certain – does not appear that everybody that I know that has had it has been affected, I'll put it that way. I mean, but I can't speak to individuals. I mean, maybe that is the case. Maybe it's affected guys differently.
You look at what now is left in front of this team, and Tennessee has no midweek game this week. They will play at home against Florida. So if that game takes place, they will get to have a senior day. But it looks like, Rob, they've kind of been locked into place. I guess they could pass LSU depending on what happens to the Tigers this week. But what do you think in terms of the importance of a 4 seed versus a 5 seed with very little room for movement kind of still within reach?
Are you talking about the SEC tournament, John?
I
think it's huge to get to the 4 seed. And I was looking at that right before I came on and was trying to figure it out. So they can pass LSU, but LSU has to lose twice this week. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So, I think it's a pretty big deal to play on Friday instead of Thursday. I mean, you know, Auburn won the tournament a couple of years ago by playing 4 straight days, but I think I do think it's an advantage to get that extra day. Of course, that puts you up against Alabama on Saturday, assuming that you could win your Friday game, which for this team, I don't think anything is unthinkable right now. But if I'm Tennessee, I think that's an important goal to be able to get that 4 seed as a double bye.
Yeah, the likelihood, though, is, Tennessee needs help and a lot of help because LSU has Vanderbilt and Missouri as its 2 games this week. And I'll give credit to Vanderbilt. I thought for sure that Ole Miss had the potential to catch Tennessee because it's got the head-to-head tiebreaker and played Vanderbilt twice.
Sure.
But among all the stunning results this season, Vanderbilt winning without its 2 best players, finding a way to beat Ole Miss says a lot about the Commodores.
Yeah, and are they going to be back this week? Do we know? Because I think they can beat LSU if they're a full strength. You know, that's at Vandy, but I do not know if those 2 kids are coming back or not. Now, LSU's lost 2 in a row, including a double digit loss at Georgia last midweek. They're hard to figure too. And I don't know if they're quite as schizophrenic as Tennessee is, but they are certainly up and down. But I don't think Vandy has a chance at beating them without DC or Pippen Jr. But
LSU defense is optional.
I think so too. I mean, and their last one is a road trip to Missouri, which is definitely losable. I mean, they'll have to. Missouri will guard them and make that a tough game.
And then Florida has Missouri and Tennessee.
Rob, if
Florida loses twice, Tennessee with a win over the Gators could catch them. That would be 10-7 versus 9-7. So there are 2 teams in play, but again, you need one of those 2 teams to lose twice and Tennessee to win on Sunday. Sorry, Jimmy.
No problem. I did want to get your take on Arkansas. They have won 9 in a row. That includes a win over LSU. They're really playing really good basketball. That's a team that looks like it's peaking. What's impressed you the most about Arkansas and its winning streak?
I think I agree with Jimmy. I think they're playing better than anybody in the SEC right now, in my opinion. They obviously play at a high tempo. They get up and down the floor. A little weak on defense. I mean, they're middle of the pack. They're not. I think they're eighth. And I was looking at all this today. I think they're eighth in the league in field goal percentage defense. So they're not great at guard you, but I like the way they play. They get up and down the floor, and I really like the guard with Moses Moody. Big fan. The freshman guard, 6'6", 6'7", kid.
Yeah.
He is a really good player.
Getting back to Tennessee with Fulkerson struggling as he has, would you look to post up Keon Johnson more?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, you can't use him the same way, but I would look to do some of that. I mean, I'd really be surprised if Fulkerson starts from here on out. I mean, Tennessee's toyed with that small ball lineup some, but I think that's the direction they go. I'm not saying he's not going to play, but I would be surprised if he's not out of the starting lineup going forward. But the problem with Tennessee and playing small is that most teams that you think of that are really good at that, like Alabama, are spreading the floor with 3 or 4 guys that are really good shooters, and that's they get the benefit of driving in and dishing it out. Tennessee's not really built that way with the shooters. When they spread the floor, it's for Keon or Jaden to create, you know, driving opportunities to get into the rim. I mean, you know, Bailey can get hot. Muscovy's a 34% shooter, but they don't. I mean, they just don't have any real snipers. I mean, Jaden shoots at a high percentage, but he doesn't shoot a lot of them. And to me, it's really tough to play Bailey and Muscovy together at the same time because of how vulnerable that leaves you on defense.
Who do you think serves as the best point guard on this Tennessee team?
I think it changes from game to game. I would probably say most of the time I would like to see Jaden handling that. But, mm-hmm. you know, Viscovi just can't beat anybody off the dribble, but he's probably their best passer in terms of vision and creativity. You know, Jaden can certainly do it. I'm not him and Keon aren't selfish by any means, but they are built to score. You know, that's kind of I think you know how they see the game. But for right now, I would take Springer. But they just don't have a prototypical point guard on the roster.
Our guest Rob Lewis of VolQuest.com. We've got more with Rob coming up. This is Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Hey.
From the Budweiser studios of The Sports Animal.
What do you mean, what's wrong with? What's wrong with you?
No, what's wrong with you?
No, what's wrong with you? You're projecting.
Drop it.
You drop it.
We are 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. Our guest, Rob Lewis of VolQuest.com, as he joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. And, Rob, turning our attention to Tennessee football, defensive staff nearly complete, and the staff of assistants nearly filled for Josh Heupel. Your thoughts on the most recent additions?
I like the Power 5 experience on the defensive side of the ball. That, to me, is what jumps out. You know, certainly Tim Banks coming from Penn State, he's been at this level. He knows what it's like to recruit against, you know, programs like Michigan, Ohio State, the level of prospect that you're going after. So obviously, you know, Rodney Garner, Tennessee fans know that name and experience that he brings in the SEC with the, you know, relationships going back two decades. And you know, real hotbeds of recruiting. I mean, if you're going to be successful at Tennessee, you're going to have to recruit the state of Georgia well. Rodney Garner has made a career out of doing that. Brian Jean Mary, for, you know, lots of Power 5 experience, coming from Michigan, was at Texas, so, you know, same thing there in terms of knowing what it's like to when recruiting is not – can't just be good. It has to be great if you're going to win your conference, which is, you know, the state of things in the SEC. And Willie Martinez, I mean, I think some fans have tutu'd that because he's, you know, they view him as having some Butch Jones stench on him. But I was always a fan of Willie. I think he's a real, you know, easy guy to work with. I think he's a professional. I mean, certainly, you know, when he's around, there's a grown-up in the room. And like Garner, he's got tons of experience in this league, in the SEC.
And as expected, Ty Simpson revealed his choice last week. If it had happened a couple of months earlier, it might have been a different result. But in the end, he chooses Tuscaloosa. How tough do you think it'll be for Tennessee fans to watch whatever path he finds himself on with the Crimson Tide?
Yeah, I think it'll be tough. And it'll be one where, you know, it's just the most Tennessee thing ever, John, that, you know, you have what looks to be a generational quarterback prospect. I mean, certainly he's the highest-rated quarterback in this state since Brent and I have been doing this, since Rivals has existed. And for him to come along when it's time for him to make the decision, your program to be under a cloud of NCAA scrutiny with, you know, probation looming and in the midst of a coaching change, it just, I mean, it writes itself as you cover Tennessee, you know, athletics long enough.
And also, when you take a look at what's next in terms of who Josh Heupel's targeting, I don't think there's any question that he and his staff have been doing their very best to get caught up on what is a very highly regarded class of 22 within the state of Tennessee. How do you think they're doing in playing catch-up and just trying to reach out and connect?
Well, I mean, and just talking to kids, you know, they're, I mean, they seem to be very receptive at the moment. I mean, they're doing, you know, group Zoom calls with multiple prospects on the same Zoom call at one time, which seems to have gone over well because of the state age. You know, so many kids know each other from, you know, working out together at these places like, you know, National Playmakers Academy in Nashville, or playing in a 7-on-7, on a 7-on-7 team in the summer. So it's not just, you know, guys from different high schools know each other in this day and age. Or, you know, taking, even though it hasn't happened in the past year, taking visits together, going to camp. So, you know, I think that, you know, they have been well received, but the bottom line is, you know, Tennessee's got to win the football games, and they really need a resolution, or at least an idea of what the resolution is going to be for play stuff. It's just the environment to recruit in right now.
Rob, not only did Simpson go to Alabama, but Sam Horn from Georgia turned around and committed to Missouri. Was that a surprise?
That surprised me. Not that he didn't pick Tennessee, but, I mean, but for people that don't know, both his parents went to Tennessee. He's got a brother who's a student at Tennessee right now. But that, the fact that he picked Missouri, when you're, you know, you're from Georgia, it wasn't like it was just, you just had Tennessee and Missouri. I mean, he's a guy that would have had some offers, you know, bigger offers if he had waited longer. And to go to that program, to me, which is just, I mean, a nothing. I mean, I don't care. I'm not saying that about Eli Drinkwitz. So I just, if you've been there, it does not feel like you're walking onto an SEC campus. There's no, you know, it feels like the Midwest, which is what it is. The passion, the pageantry, got none of that on that campus, the game day atmosphere. So for him to pull that trigger, that one, I was not remotely surprised that Ty Simpson went to Alabama. But if you're, you know, Tennessee fans can get angry, but if you're that young man's parents, I mean, how can you send him here when the other two options are Alabama and Clemson? That to me was a pretty informed decision on his part. But the Horn decision yesterday, that one really surprised me. The fact that it was Missouri, that he's, you know, picking that place, leaving the South, where I guess he stayed in the SEC technically, but to go play for that particular program.
Let me ask you about a couple of the quarterbacks. Tavon Carter from Memphis, what's his interest in Tennessee?
I don't know, Jimmy. I mean, really, we've all been so focused on Ty Simpson, and that's, you know, that's for previous staff. That was where all their focus was. And so I'll be honest with you. I don't have a gauge or a feel for really what anybody else, what the quarterback board looks like, because it is, until Friday, it was all about Ty Simpson, and then it was pretty obvious that they were going to turn to Horn after that. But so right. Beyond that, I'm kind of just grasping at straws.
Yeah, I did see where Tennessee offered a 6'5" quarterback, Taven Jackson, out of Indiana. So but he's also got basketball offers. We'll see what happens there. And one other note, I talked to T. Martin early today. He told me that his son, Caden Martin, is considering Tennessee, but in baseball only, and that Arizona State, Miami, and Oregon are football and baseball. And he's going to make an announcement Wednesday, so we'll see.
This is secondhand information, so don't act like it's gospel. But I've heard that he was leaning hard for a little while of going the baseball only route. Now, I'm not saying that he won't, you know, pick a school that will allow him to do both, but it has sounded to me, just from a couple of different people that I've spoken to, that he was leaning towards the baseball way. Frankly, if I'm a kid and I have a chance to be a pro at either one of those, it's an easy decision for me. I'm going baseball. and you know, injury factor, sure. Quality of life, length of your career. I know Kyler Murray famously went the other way, but to me, if you've got a shot at making it to the pros, baseball seems the way to go.
All dollars are guaranteed, that's for sure.
And you can play for, you know, 15 years is not unusual. As we're in football, that is a huge exception to the rule.
So, Rob, back to Tennessee basketball. Volunteers have one game. It's Sunday at noon against Florida. If you had the chance to drop in an opponent on Wednesday, would you? Or would you just play it as it lies, see what happens, and work on just improving yourself?
No, I wouldn't play. I wouldn't play like a mid-major or something like that, which I don't know how seriously Tennessee explored that. But I would have liked to have seen you know, the SEC fix it to where they got another game. But I guess, you know, the games are – the total number of games have kind of evened out. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just for this Tennessee team, I think they could use a week, personally. I mean, I know, you know, some people will say that, you know, play as many as you can, and I get the wisdom of that. But I think this team could use a week. I don't think Josiah's 100% healthy. He looks to me like he's tentative. I think that wrist is still bothering him. So, I mean, just for him – individually, I think he could use the rest, and I think this. You know, we're in March now, so I'm not sure how much improvement they have to figure some things out.
Rob, what's going on these days at VolQuest.com?
Well, as Jimmy just noted, there we're trying to find Tennessee's next quarterback target. that will certainly be a focus as we go forward, and recruiting in general. As we talked a little bit about, the staff is really hitting the state of Tennessee hard, and with good reason. It's a loaded class in state this year. It could be a foundational class for this staff. So, kind of a lot of recruiting content focused around that. Obviously, covering basketball and anticipating starting spring practice maybe here in 2 or 3 weeks.
Rob, we always appreciate it. Thank you so much for your time. As always, have a great week, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
Thanks, guys. Enjoyed it.
All right, thank you. That's Rob Lewis of VolQuest.com joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.